from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, January 24th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
The U.S. orders families of diplomats to leave Ukraine as tensions with Russia mount.
On Wall Street, stock futures slump as the sell-off looks to continue.
Goldman Sachs comes out with a hawkish forecast for Fed policy.
And Dr. Anthony Fauci says the Omicron outbreak could soon peak.
New York City is reeling from the deadly shooting of a police officer. Plus, trial begins for three ex-Minneapolis policemen involved in George Floyd's death. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Chiefs beat the Bills in an epic playoff game. The Rams beat the Bucks. The Knicks won. The Nets and Devils lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies. Try Global Analyst today at ibkr.com/GA.
And futures are lower this morning after last week's sell-off. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down about 16 points. Dow futures down 87. NASDAQ futures down 82. The 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 1.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.99%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2%. And Bitcoin is down 5.6%. Nathan.
All right, Karen. We'll have more on markets in a minute, but we begin with the latest geopolitical tensions between the White House and Moscow. Concerns over a Russian invasion of Ukraine and the U.S. taking steps to protect Americans in the country. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Washington ordered diplomats' families to leave Ukraine, the U.K. withdrawing about half of its embassy staff and their families. EU ministers are talking with Secretary of State Antony Blinken about next steps. They're prepared to say that any further military aggression by Russia will have, quote, massive consequences and severe costs. This as President Biden is reportedly weighing whether to send troops to Eastern Europe to support NATO allies. The New York Times reports that would involve up to 5,000 troops plus warships and aircraft. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Well, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is speaking out on the pending conflict with Russia. He's rejecting pressure to escalate sanctions on Moscow, saying it would limit his options in the future.
The purpose of those sanctions is to deter Russian aggression. And so if they're triggered now, you lose the deterrent effect.
And Antony Blinken made the comments on NBC's Meet the Press, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, let's turn back to markets now, Karen, where U.S. futures are slumping once again. Last week's sell-off shows no sign of slowing. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John.
Good morning, Nathan. The Nasdaq 100 coming off its worst week since the start of the pandemic in March of 2020. The end of central bank stimulus has many rethinking their outlooks. The Fed decision on Wednesday is expected to signal a March interest rate hike and a balance sheet reduction later this year. U.S. stocks have historically performed well during rate hike cycles. They've risen at an average annualized rate of 9% during all hiking cycles since the 1950s. But that's no comfort this morning. The Nasdaq futures right now, they are down 68 points. And still, strategists do remain optimistic. On average, they project the S&P 500 will finish the year just shy of 5,000. That will be 13% above Friday's closing level. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Well, as we wait for Wednesday's Fed decision, one Wall Street bank is out with a hawkish forecast. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Goldman Sachs economists say the Fed could tighten policy more aggressively than anticipated. They're clocking rates increases in March, June, September, and December, and for the central bank to announce the start of a balance sheet reduction in July. Goldman economists are concerned because the Omicron variant is prolonging supply-demand imbalances, and there's continued strength in wage growth, which together could increase ongoing inflation pressures. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Renita, anticipation of tighter policy from the Fed is also weighing on Bitcoin. That, combined with word that the White House is preparing a strategy for digital assets, has Bitcoin hitting a low of 34,000 over the weekend. The cryptocurrency is down nearly 50% from its all-time high in November, and checking Bitcoin now, it's at $33,100.
Well, let's turn to the pandemic now, Nathan. U.S. COVID cases appear to be leveling off, and there's hope the numbers could soon start heading south. Dr. Anthony Fauci says this surge could be nearing its peak.
But if the pattern follows the trend that we're seeing in other places, things are looking good. We don't want to get overconfident, but they all look like they're going in the right direction right now.
Dr. Fauci made the comments on ABC's This Week, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, COVID's front and center in Europe this morning, Karen, as British Prime Minister Boris Johnson faces his most crucial week in office. Let's go live to London and get the latest from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
In fact, it's Max Ramsey here. Morning
to
you, Nathan and Karen. So battles on multiple fronts for Boris Johnson. We await the results of an investigation from a senior civil servant into apparently lockdown-breaking parties in Downing Street. Also, the conduct of the government's whips is in question. So these are lawmakers who are in charge of discipline within the Prime Minister's Conservative Party. They're facing allegations of blackmail and Islamophobia, both of which they're denying. But so far, Boris Johnson has managed to keep rebellions from his party from growing too overwhelming, but really a challenging week to come for the Prime Minister. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Max, thank you. Well, back here in the U.S., some corporate news to get you caught up on. Shares of Kohl's are up 29%. The department store chain is fielding interest from two potential buyers. Sources say the latest bid comes from Sycamore Partners. Earlier, another bidder backed by hedge fund Starboard Value offered $9 billion for Kohl's. Activist investors have been pressuring Kohl's to sell.
And Peloton shares are up 1%, Karen. Bloomberg News has learned an activist investor will push Peloton to fire its CEO and try to sell itself. Blackwell's Capital has less than a 5% stake in the fitness company. Peloton's shares have plunged more than 80% from their all-time high a year ago.
And on the economic front today, Nathan, a new survey shows a buildup of U.S. inflation and labor shortages. The National Association for Business Economics says more than half of the companies surveyed boosted prices in the fourth quarter. That's the highest in the survey's 40-year history. On top of that, more than 75% expect higher wage costs in the next 3 months. Futures this morning are falling, and straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. We're 30 degrees in Central Park, still dealing with an accident on the westbound Belt Parkway headed to JFK. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City is preparing to lay to rest a rookie police officer killed last week. Funeral services for 22-year-old New York City police officer Jason Rivera are being finalized. Rivera and Officer Wilbert Moore were shot Friday night while answering a call about an argument between a woman and her adult son in Harlem. Moore was wounded and is fighting for his life. The man police say shot them also was wounded by a third responding officer. New York City Mayor Eric Adams vows to take action to address not just the latest police shooting, but crime in general.
This is a sea of crime that's being fed by many rivers, and we have to dam each one of those rivers. And we have been unsuccessful to do so throughout the years. These crimes did not start during my administration. They have been here for far too long in many parts of our community.
Mayor Adams on CNN also mentioned another high-profile crime that occurred more than a week ago. A 40-year-old woman on a subway platform in Times Square, Michelle Goh, was shoved in front of an incoming train by a mentally ill homeless man. Jen Oliver is the CEO of the MTA.
With a relatively small number of mentally ill homeless, but their impact on the subway system and on the ridership and, God forbid, on safety is disproportionate.
The MTA's Jen Oliver says the fact that it happened in one of the most iconic spots emphasizes the problem New York City faces. Opening statements begin today in the federal trial for three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating George Floyd's civil rights as Derek Chauvin pinned his neck to the street. All three are charged for failing to provide Floyd with medical care. The adult film actress who made lawyer Michael Avenatti famous 4 years ago will be the key witness in a New York courtroom. Prosecutors are trying to prove Avenatti cheated Stormy Daniels of $300,000 in book proceeds. Opening statements are scheduled for today. Jury selection begins today in New York for former Alaska governor and vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin's lawsuit against the New York Times. Palin accuses the Times of defamation over a 2017 editorial.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, has there ever been a more exciting NFL playoff game? Bills and Chiefs just in the final 2 minutes of regulation. They scored 25 points, had three lead changes. Twice the Bills thought they had won with a Josh Allen touchdown pass to Gabriel Davis, who caught four on the night. But they kept leaving Kansas City time, even when Buffalo scored a go-ahead TD with only 13 seconds to go. Enough time for Patrick Mahomes. Two completions got the Chiefs in position for a game-tying field goal. They went to overtime. Kansas City won the coin flip and then the game.
Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelsey. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fake comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game.
42-36, Chiefs Radio, Mahomes and Allen, a classic quarterback duel. They combined for 60 completions, over 700 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 137 rushing yards. It's Mahomes and the Chiefs will host Cincinnati for the AFC Championship. The Rams will host the 49ers in the NFC. L.A. blew a 24-point lead. Tom Brady rallied Tampa Bay to a tie, and the Rams, helped by a 44-yard completion, kicked a field goal to win 30-27. After three straight home losses, Knicks beat the Clippers at the Garden 110-102. R.J. Barrett scored 26. Knicks start a tough week tonight in Cleveland. Nets lost at Minnesota 136-125. Devils lost to the Kings 3-2. American Taylor Fritz playing right now at the Australian Open. One set all with Stefanos Tsitsipas. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. David?
Thanks, John. S&P futures now down 5 points. Dow futures and NASDAQ futures both down 28 points. The 10-year Treasury up 9/32. The yield 1.72%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunny mid-30s today, partly sunny, a high near 40 tomorrow, sunshine Wednesday, but a high only near 25 degrees, currently clouds and 30 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and equities in Europe are falling this morning. U.S. stock index futures are lower, as well as the rout in technology shares deepens amid concerns over the Federal Reserve's imminent rate liftoff. Bonds are gaining, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 7 points, Dow futures down 47, NASDAQ futures down 39. The DAX in Germany is down 1.6%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 1.72%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.99%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 26 cents at $84.88 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $7 at $18.41.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1317 against the dollar. British pound 1.35 and the yen's at 113.73. Bitcoin this morning also falling at $33,900. And IBM is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The U.S. ordered family members at its embassy in Ukraine to leave due to the continued threat of Russian military action. While the U.S. renewed warnings that Russia could send forces into Ukraine at any time, there's word President Joe Biden is considering deploying troops to Eastern Europe and the Baltics. The federal trial for three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating George Floyd's civil rights, as Derek Chauvin pinned his neck to the street, is set to begin today with opening statements. In the NFL, the Chiefs beat the Bills in an OT thriller 42-36, and that means Kansas City faces the Bengals for the AFC title. The Rams beat the Bucks 30-27. Los Angeles will now face the 49ers for the NFC championship.
In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors won. The Nets lost. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we turn our attention now to the pandemic. Dr. Anthony Fauci says things look like they're going in the right direction with the Omicron variant. If it keeps up, the top White House medical advisor says COVID could diminish to a level of control.
Control means you're not eliminating it, you're not eradicating it, but it gets down to such a low level that it's essentially integrated into the general respiratory infections that we have learned to live with.
Dr. Fauci spoke on ABC's This Week, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Joining us this morning is Professor Gigi Granval of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. So what do you think, Professor? Are we getting close to a point where we can live with COVID?
Well, we still have a lot of people getting infected every day and a lot of hospitalizations and too many deaths, but I think a better day is ahead, and I think, you know, Tony Fauci says it well. We're getting to a point where it's going to be something that we will live with, but let's not forget about the rest of the world while we're living with it here.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. That comes down to vaccinations, doesn't it? Whether we can continue to boost and fully vaccinate people in this country while still getting vaccines to the rest of the world. Are we striking that balance properly?
Well, we are giving a lot of vaccines away, but the world needs to do a much better job of this. And we need to partner with other nations, including China, to make sure that people have access to their first doses, never mind their second or third. We have seen the rise of Delta and Omicron. All of these things happen because we have a vulnerable population, and we can't ignore the rest of the world's vulnerable populations. So we need to vaccinate.
And it sounds like you're implying that that raises the risk if we don't get enough of a level of vaccination that we could see more variants down the line. What's the risk in your mind that a future variant could be worse than Delta, given that Omicron apparently wasn't, at least in terms of severity?
Yeah, viruses, they evolve to become more transmissible. How severe they are is really a matter of how well the virus does. It doesn't really matter to it. So I think we need to just try and eliminate the possibility of too many more variants coming in hopes that, they could be more severe. So we have to do what we can.
In this discussion about putting COVID in the background, getting it under control, as you know, a lot of Americans, a lot of people around the world have gotten to a point, at least in their own minds, that it's in the background for them. They want to get back to their lives, and a number of businesses are dialing back restrictions on coming back to the office now with it seeming like Omicron is getting in the right direction. What's your advice for people as they sort of navigate the way things are now?
Yeah, for most people who are who have gotten their vaccines, including their booster, they are taking precautions when they go into crowded places. This is a risk that many people can take and to safely gather. But we still have some vulnerable populations here, so please try to take more precautions in the coming weeks than maybe a month or two from now. There's going to be more drugs available for treating people who have who can't be protected by the vaccine. And we also need to make sure that we get vaccine to the under five crowd as well.
When do you think that's going to happen? It seems like it's taken quite a while for under fives to get vaccines.
Absolutely. Yeah. The word is that it's going to be within the next couple of months. So 6 to 8 weeks to be conservative. At least that's what Dr. Fauci implied a few days ago.
In our last 30 seconds here, you're probably aware of the anti-vaccine mandate that happened in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. A lot of people arguing for natural immunity as something that can help against Omicron or any other variant. What's the case for natural immunity? Is that enough?
Well, it hasn't been enough to if people had Delta to protect them against Omicron, et cetera. So it's not enough, but you know, natural immunity can give you a lot of protection. It just might also hospitalize or potentially kill you in the process. So a safer course of action is to get vaccinated.
As always, thank you for your insights. Professor Gigi Granvall of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, supported by Michael Bloomberg. He is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg Radio's parent company, Bloomberg LP. S&P futures now down 10 points, Dow futures down 62, NASDAQ futures down 54 points. Just ahead, diplomats' families ordered out of Ukraine, a hawkish forecast from Goldman Sachs. As we check the five things you need to know to start your day, this is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunny mid-30s today, partly sunny, a high near 40 tomorrow, sunny highs in the mid-20s on Wednesday. Right now, cloudy and 30 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 11:30, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 106.1, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It is time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Up first, we begin with the latest geopolitical tensions between the U.S. and Russia. The U.S. has ordered families of diplomats to leave Ukraine, and concerns about an invasion mount. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the very latest.
The signal is that Russia could invade at any time, and the State Department is issuing a statement saying, quote, the security conditions, particularly along Ukraine's borders, in Russia-occupied Crimea, and in Russia-controlled eastern Ukraine, are unpredictable and can deteriorate with little notice. There are also reports that the Biden administration is thinking about sending troops into the region. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Turning to markets now, U.S. futures are deteriorating as last week's sell-off looks set to continue. Let's get the latest live. Here's Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, the NASDAQ coming off its worst week since the start of the pandemic in March of 2020. It's now down over 14% from its November high. And the next hurdle for investors is Wednesday, when the Fed is expected to signal a March rate hike and balance sheet reduction later this year. The end of Fed stimulus has prompted an exodus from high-growth equities. Right now, NASDAQ futures are leading declines. They are down 68 points. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. As we wait for Wednesday's Fed decision, when Wall Street Bank is out with a hawkish forecast, we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Goldman Sachs economists say the Fed could tighten policy more aggressively than anticipated. They're clocking rates increases in March, June, September, and December, and for the central bank to announce the start of a balance sheet reduction in July. Goldman economists are concerned because the Omicron variant is prolonging supply-demand imbalances, and there's continued strength in wage growth, which together could increase ongoing inflation pressures. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Let's turn to the pandemic now with word from President Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, that the Omicron outbreak is headed in the right direction. He says the surge could peak soon.
And in corporate news this morning, shares of Kohl's are higher by 28%. Sources say the department store chain is fielding interest from two potential buyers. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. We have a check of your local headlines, plus a check of sports straight ahead on Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. We're at 30 degrees in Central Park. An accident has northbound Palisades Interstate Parkway closed past exit 3. Details coming up in traffic first. Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has announced a new task force involving nine Northeast states in fighting the rise in gun violence. It comes after Friday's shooting of two New York City police officers. One officer, 22-year-old Jason Rivera, was killed. The other, 27-year-old Wilbert Mora, is in critical condition. Mayor Eric Adams is calling on the federal government to help curb the flow of illegal guns into big cities.
The police department is doing their job, taking thousands of guns off the streets.
Yet each time you take a gun off, there's a constant flow of new guns coming here.
Mayor Adams says the suspect in Friday's shooting was also shot by a third responding officer and remains hospitalized. Mayor Adams also mentioned last week's death of a 40-year-old woman on a subway platform in Times Square that's making global headlines. Authorities say Michelle Goh was shoved in front of an incoming train by a mentally ill homeless man. Jano Lieber, CEO of the MTA, says the fact that this happened in one of the city's most iconic spots emphasizes the problem New York City faces.
Right in the middle of our city, what could be more the center of the city and of the world than Times Square? For this to happen is just unthinkable, unacceptable. I called it unconscionable. There are no words. We have to do something about it.
The MTA's Jano Lieber says, though, while the issue is atypical for the city, it's being felt acutely in this time of COVID. The federal trial for three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating George Floyd's civil rights as Derek Chauvin pinned the black man's neck to the street is set to begin today with opening statements. All three are also charged for failing to provide Floyd with medical care. In Michigan, students returned to Oxford High School today for the first time since a deadly shooting there nearly 2 months ago. The school's principal, Steve Wolf, posted a video message to students on YouTube.
We know it's going to be really difficult for our students and our staff to come back because we're still grieving. And our thoughts and our prayers will continue to be with the victims of this senseless act and this tragedy and for those who continue to heal.
The alleged shooter, 15-year-old Ethan Crumley, is currently being held without bond in an adult jail. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashire's got the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. A wild weekend of NFL playoffs with all four games being won on the final play. Three road teams won on game-ending field goals, and then the Bills and Chiefs in a game for the ages. 25 points scored in the last 2 minutes of regulation. Three lead changes, including Buffalo's go-ahead TD with only 13 seconds left. Kansas City still able to tie the game on a last-second field goal, and they beat the Bills 42-36 in overtime, and the Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game for the fourth year in a row. They'll take on the Bengals. The Rams beat the Bucks 30-27 on a field goal that came after Tampa Bay rallied from 24 points down to tie the game. Tom Brady nearly pulled off an epic comeback. Not quite.
At the end, there's only one team that's going to be happy. It feels good to move on when you move on, and obviously when you don't. Whether it was last week or this week or next week, or the week after, 2 weeks after that, if you're the loser in that game at all. It all sucks to lose in the end.
And asked if he's now going to retire, Brady said he'll take it day by day. The Rams, after winning on the road, now go home. Play the 49ers for the NFC title. If the Rams win, they'll stay in L.A. for the Super Bowl. The Knicks' homestand is over. They lost the first three, but beat the Clippers 110-102. Led all the way, R.J. Barrett, 26 points, 14 rebounds. Knicks play tonight in Cleveland. Start of a tough week. They go to Miami, then Milwaukee. They'll play three of the top five in the East. In Minnesota, 30 points for Kyrie Irving, not enough. Nets lost 136-125. Devils beaten by the Kings 3-2. Daniel Medvedev into the quarterfinals of the Australian Open, and so is Danielle Collins, one of three Americans in the women's quarter. John Stash, everyone, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. On a down Monday, Kriti, still a lot of buy interest in Kohl's this morning.
Yeah, some deal news potentially when it comes to Kohl's. KSS is your ticker, up just shy of 29%. This, of course, comes after the weekend where they did have not just one suitor, but two suitors, Nathan. Kohl's actually turning out to be the belle of the ball here. Two suitors, Sycamore Partners and a Starboard-backed investor, specifically Sycamore's looking at a bid, the Starboard-backed investor looking at a bid of about $64 a share. This comes after, of course, we know retailers broadly have been struggling with the likes of the Omicron variant. Kohl's really at the front of that. It's current investors, Engine Capital and Mycelium Advisors, which is also an activist investor, has been pushing Kohl's to consider strategies, to consider sales. And now, Nathan, it looks like it's going to happen, at least according to people from familiar, the idea that they do have two suitors on the table while they're still struggling. Nevertheless, KSS, once again, is your ticker, just shy of 29%. And speaking of activist investors, Nathan, it doesn't stop at Kohl's. Peloton as well, PTON, is your ticker, up 1.5%. We know this company has really been struggling for a while now. It comes with regulatory scrutiny, simply not many people needing to buy a home bike anymore. And we've seen the shares really tumble with that stay-at-home trade kind of fading. Now it's facing calls from an activist investor, Blackwell's Capital, to fire its chief executive officer, John Foley, and pursue a sale. Once again, according to a person with knowledge of the matter, coming from Bloomberg reporting, our very own Scott DeVoe reporting that story. Something to keep in mind, lots of deal news happening this morning.
And a few analyst moves this morning as well.
A few analyst moves as well. Let's just start off with Discover. DFS is your ticker, up 1.4%. Piper Sandler upgrading Discover on, quote, a great setup for shares, raising the firm's price target to 142 from 125 a share. This is crucial because you're actually seeing a company, Piper Sandler, smile essentially on a company that's in the fintech space, that's in the credit card space. We know, especially with all the spending data, these companies, along with banks, have been under some pressure recently. Moving on to Arista Networks, upgraded to a buy from a neutral over at Citi following more than a 17% year-to-date pullback in the shares through Friday. Citi saying that there are several positive catalysts in the near term. ANET is your ticker there, up 0.5%. And lastly, we do have a couple of earnings coming out this morning. Halliburton is going to be top of the agenda. HAL up 0.3% before that report, and IBM as well reporting after the bell, down 0.6% in the pre-market, Nathan.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us as always in the early trade. And we check the markets before they open this morning. Futures are moving lower. S&P futures are down 8 points. Dow futures down 43. NASDAQ futures lower by 42 points. And the 10-year Treasury is up 8/32. The yield, 1.72%. Bitcoin right now just shy of $33,800. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine mid-30s today, partly sunny near 40 tomorrow, sunny mid-20s for Wednesday. Right now, clouds and 29 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are falling this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now, with Dow futures down 32 points. S&P's dropped 5, while NASDAQ futures are lower by 30. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.73%. Gold is up 4. Oil is trading lower. And Bitcoin is sinking another 4.4%. Hong Kong dropped 1.2% overnight, while European markets are also in the red, led by 2% losses in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, Chicago Fed, and at 9:45, January PMIs. On the geopolitical front, the U.S. has ordered families of diplomats out of the Ukraine, and the New York Times reported that Biden is weighing deploying troops to Eastern Europe. In deal news in Europe, Unilever jumped after people familiar said that Nelson Peltz built a stake. Peloton received a letter from activist investor Blackwell's. Kohl's surged 28% pre-market after Sycamore Partners reportedly reached out about a takeover. And Wynn Resorts is looking to sell its online sports betting business. In other news, Fauci says the Omicron virus is moving in the right direction. And wrapping things up, Arista Networks was raised to buy at Citigroup. Netflix cut to hold at Jefferies. And PPG was cut to equal weight over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Alert Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The State Department is ordering the families of all American personnel at the U.S. Embassy in Kiev to leave the country and is allowing non-essential staff to leave Ukraine. The move comes amid heightened fears of a Russian invasion of Ukraine, despite talks between U.S. and Russian officials. One of President Trump's strongest defenders is said to have talked to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The chairman of the committee says former President Trump's attorney
the Attorney General William Barr has spoken to the panel. In the NFL, the Chiefs beat the Bills 42-36 in overtime. That means the Kansas City Chiefs face the Cincinnati Bengals for the AFC title. The Rams beat the Bucks 30-27. Los Angeles will now face the 49ers for the NFC championship. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors won. The Nets lost. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
We'll all be immunized against COVID-19 soon. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. As COVID-19's Omicron wave begins to subside in the U.S., one thing seems clear. After it has passed, the number of Americans who have been neither infected by nor vaccinated against the disease will be pretty close to zero. As we've all learned, the immunity provided by vaccines and prior infections isn't perfect. You can still get infected, but you're much less likely to get very ill. Some studies have shown vaccines giving better protection, some prior infections. Both clearly provide some immunity. Boosters and improved vaccines can provide even more, and encouraging vaccination should remain a priority. But sequestering the unvaccinated from the rest of us probably shouldn't. Despite having arrived via different routes, one far more dangerous than the other, we are, for now, all in the same boat. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:51 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News & World Report and top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The U.S. reported 694,000 new vaccine doses administered on Sunday. That's the lowest number since October, despite near-record high infections and hospitalizations. According to the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker, vaccinations peaked last April at more than 4.5 million daily shots. Bitcoin has lost more than half of its value since hitting a high back in November. The drop has wiped out more than $600 billion in market value, and over $1 trillion has been lost from the aggregate crypto market. And after 160 years in the business, Standard Chartered Bank says 99% of its transaction volumes in South Africa are now cashless. The pandemic and the ensuing lockdown across the continent coaxed Standard Bank's customers into switching to digital banking. According to ACI Worldwide, digital payments will account for 72% of all transactions in India by 2025. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S. ordering families of diplomats out of Ukraine. President Biden is reportedly considering sending troops to Eastern Europe as tensions with Russia rise close to the boiling point. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, though, says now is not the time for sanctions, at least not yet.
The most important thing we can do is to use them as a deterrent, as a means of dissuading Russia from engaging in further aggression. Once sanctions are triggered, you lose the deterrent effect.
Secretary Blinken was on CBS's Face the Nation, but Democratic Senator Chris Coons is making the case for some sanctions now to show resolve.
The very strongest sanctions, the sorts of sanctions that we use to bring Iran to the table, is something that we should hold out as a deterrent to prevent Putin from taking the last step of invading Ukraine.
Senator Coons was on ABC's This Week. Also making news, Senator Bernie Sanders saying it's time to stop negotiating and start voting on pieces of President Biden's Build Back Better.
Let's put a strong bill on the floor. And if Mr. Manchin and Ms. Sinema want to vote against it or whatever, Republicans want to vote against it, we can go from there.
Senator Sanders was on NBC's Meet the Press, and a reported draft order for the National Guard to seize ballot boxes after the 2020 election has the attention of the House January 6th committee. Chairman Benny Thompson tells CBS's Face the Nation they've discussed it with former Attorney General William Barr.
We've had conversations with the former attorney general already. We've talked to Department of Defense individuals. We are concerned that our military was part of this big lie on promoting that the election was false.
Face the Nation, Meet the Press, and This Week can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. For more, we're joined this morning by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with the situation in Ukraine front and center. Emily, what's the latest?
So over the weekend, as we reported on Friday, the U.S. did ask for families of Americans in Ukraine to leave. They also asked for some embassy workers to leave the country as well, warning that they might not be able to protect Americans should Russia invade. There's also, Nathan, as you alluded to with those clips, a very heated discussion happening in Washington right now over whether more needs to the U.S. needs to do more, that they shouldn't wait until Russia invades Ukraine. Should they move now? Should we send troops? Should we send more funding? Should we send ammunition? This is something the U.S. Senate, as well as the House, were talking about doing prior to departing. I mean, the big question now is that the House is out this week. The Senate is out this week. Congress is not around. And so there's a question of whether lawmakers would be able to act quickly or potentially act before Putin makes a potential first move into Ukraine. And this is something that President Biden has also been briefed on over the weekend, what it would look like to move potentially troops into Eastern Europe, what it would mean to start imposing some of these sanctions that they've threatened right now due to this military buildup.
As you mentioned, Congress is out this week, and it sounds like the debate is resuming over whether to keep negotiating or whether to start voting on President Biden's economic agenda.
Yeah, so what Senator Bernie Sanders kind of proposed over the weekend, it kind of goes into line with how more and more Democrats are thinking about the package. They say, okay, if we can't move forward on Build Back Better as it is right now, what can we move forward on? Because we know that Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema, they do support various parts of this package. It's just that they don't support the entire thing. And so there are questions about how do they move forward. And Democrats, both progressives and more moderates, they've pointed out that even passing just a few of these things would lead to major transformative changes, that you don't need to have a $1.8 trillion bill. You could have something much smaller that would impact many Americans. The Democrats, really, they see the need to get moving on this. There was some question about why the last several weeks were spent on a doomed-to-fail voting rights measure. They want to get back to the discussion on this social policy and tax plan. Again, they're not here this week, so we'll see what the discussion looks and sounds like when they get back that first week of February.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins keeping us on top of what's happening in the nation's capital, even with Congress out this week. It sounds like there could be a lot of backdoor negotiations on a number of fronts as lawmakers head back to their constituencies. And you can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Looking ahead to the market open on this Monday morning, futures are moving lower, though pulling back from some of their deepest losses in the pre-market. Right now, S&P futures are down 8 points, Dow futures down 64, NASDAQ futures are lower by 43 points. The 10-year Treasury is now up 5/32, the yield 1.73%. Yield on the 2-year now 1.01%. NYMEX crude up 0.1% at $85.24 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% at $18.40 an ounce. And the euro is at 1.1304 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.